Good afternoon, family. Good afternoon to Gate Ministry Durban Central. Good afternoon to all the viewers who will be watching this broadcast. I am Quentin, and I want to thank my spiritual parents, Randolph and Renee, for this opportunity to speak to us today. I count it such a responsibility and not a light task at that. And so my prayer is for myself that, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Family, as we come around the word this evening, and as we delve into the scriptures, I pray that the very counsel of God would come upon us, that illumination would come to our hearts and to our minds, so that understanding can come. And from that, a different response and a different posture would be birthed on the inside of us. I want to look at a few scriptures as a base for what we will be discussing this evening, so that from there we can build a narrative for God to speak to us. The first scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. The word of the Lord says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." The second portion of scripture is 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm reading verse 1 to verse 9. "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, the word of the Lord says we are hidden with Christ. We are hidden with Christ in God. In the inception stage of our salvation, this hidden posture, it is securely installed into our makeup. Securely part of who we are. We didn't have to work to be hidden with Christ in God. We didn't have to do, we only had to be saved. But then I read another portion in 1 Kings chapter 17 from 1 to 9, and we're going to speak today about a topic which I would call the hidden position. The hidden position. But I must, from the outset, say to us, family, there's a difference between hidden and hiding. I want to say that when we are hiding, it's normally a man-made thing. It's normally man's doing. But when we are hidden, God has a plan, because he's hiding. He's setting us aside for something bigger. And so I want us to realize that hiding comes with a negative flavor to it. Hiding, for example, Adam and Eve were in hiding because of their wrongdoing, because of their sin. Moses found himself from a baby stage in hiding in a basket for the security and the safety of his life, for the preservation of his life. David's fleeing from one cave to the next cave to a mountain, hiding from Saul, hiding for his safety, hiding for his life. And then there's Jonah hiding in a different land when he's being sent to Nineveh. And these people's hiding is in hiding with a negativity, with a different flavor to it. But our speaking today will predominantly be about the fact that God has hidden us in Christ. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 1 to 9, the Bible says that Elijah, we just finished dealt with Ahab and Jezebel. He just finished, walked into Ahab's palace, dealt with that situation, and the next moment in chapter 17, here comes God in verse 2 and 3 and tells him, go and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And so what do I learn from this situation? At one stage, in one season, in one moment, I can be the very elect of God to push His purposes and to do great and mighty exploits for Him. In our colloquial terms, I would say, you're the main O, you're the main man for this job. But the paradox kicks in almost immediately when Jesus says to him, go and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. He did not do this by himself. He went on the instruction of God, his father, to hide himself. Not hiding from a negative vantage point, but being hidden by God. And so when we speak about the hidden position, it's something that God initiates. It's something that God wants for me and you to do in order to meet with Him. And so once again, as Elijah becomes our case study, I want us to know that the Word of God wants to teach us again a few principles about being hidden in Christ. And after listening to Lachelle the previous week, I do realize that the spirit of Elijah is a topic, and it's a word that still needs to be delved into, needs to be decoded. We need to work with it, because there's some truths, some gold, some nuggets that will teach us a lifestyle that we need to inculcate as sons of God. So, I want to say all throughout Scripture, and I find this trend and I find this pattern going right through, God keeps His servants hidden. He keeps them hidden. And I think especially of Moses, that was for 40 years at the backside of a mountain with his father Laban, with his father-in-law, with his uncle Laban, with his father-in-law Jethro. And we know what? 40 years of being stashed away. There's David again fleeing in the mountains and the caves from Saul. But also in a field looking after sheep, hidden. There's Paul, 3 years in Arabia after his conversion. And that means that he needed to be there because there was things that God needed to do with him and in him. We don't forget Esther. As much as she was a young girl in the territory at the time, she was under her uncle's Mordecai's hand. And the issue is she was kept and preserved one side until the timing was right. So God hides His servants. Joseph was sold, but God knows he was sent. But he's away from his family and away from those whom he loved for a purpose, for a time, and for a role that he had to play, which he didn't knew at that time. Even Jesus himself was in a stall. Later, under the canopy of Mary and Joseph, hidden, stashed away for a purpose that is yet to come. The question now comes, why would Father God use this methodology when he has these mighty men and women of God that he could easily just let loose and do the things that needs to be done? It's because, firstly, family, he wants to engage with these people himself. And in that hidden environment, he wants to build on the inside of them a vessel with no cracks, a vessel that has the ability to withstand the heat. He wants to build within that person a greater purpose. For a forthcoming assignment, And while in the vortex of that space called a hidden space, they don't know the bigger assignment. They have not yet tapped into what it is, but they're staying in the hidden space. He does this because he wants to produce on the inside of this person, the servant, a son. A son that is mature, a your son. He wants to produce in this man or in this woman the purest form of who they can be. He wants to shape their characters. He wants to build skills in them that is needed for that assignment that's looming. And sometimes the assignment is bigger than what they are currently are at, what they currently have and possess. And so he pulls them aside for a time frame. And one moment, we find that Elijah is on the main stage, dealing with Jezebel, dealing with Ahab. And the next moment, he's all alone at a brook. But it's all the doings and the workings of our God. And in that place of being hidden, God also wants the maturation of time to take place. Maturation of time is important. Timing is important. God's calendar and my calendar must synchronize. But I must bring my will into His will. And I must submit to His calendar. So in that time of hiding and being hidden, God wants to deposit graces and skills and anointings for functionality. I think of Moses. He was at the backside of a mountain. God dealt with him. He learned the skill of throwing your staff down and it turns into a snake, picking it up on the tail end and it becomes a staff again. Because God knew you're going to need this skill one day when you stand in front of Pharaoh. He didn't know it, but God knew it. So the training and the time that God is spending with you in your hidden space, that is God's work. That is God's doing. And He needs this time to work on you and I. Also, God wants to fine-tune our inner ear. He wants to build in us the ability to hear Him, the voice of the Holy Spirit, even clearer. No doubts, no gray areas, the exact thing that God really wants to say and do. So He wants to fine-tune our inner ear because His apostolic voice will come at us, will come to us to instruct us in righteousness, to give us the assignment, and we need to be spiritually sharp in our hearing. God wants to download His plan over our lives. And sometimes our plan can cloud the whole process. But then once I submit to being hidden in Christ, where He can have the time and the space to do His thing in and through me on and with me, that will allow God to build in me the person that will one day have to do that mighty thing that He has planned for us. So God wants to activate within every son an obedience, a compliance, and most of all, when I'm done, when He's done with me, He can truly be saying that I can rely on the Son to get the job done. And so, family, as we continue, what does God want to do? What is His aim? What is the outcome that God wants to see when He is keeping us in hiding, not hiding negatively, when He keeps us in a hidden position? God wants to produce a product, a son that is ready and empowered, a product that can express sonship the way it should be. God wants to cultivate on that person the image and likeness of deity. He wants a Him alone face, God's face alone, God's voice alone, God's posture to emanate from the Son. And so He puts the Son like clay on a wheel and He molds and He shapes and He wants to extract anything that is contrary to what the instruction and the mandate and the purpose requires. Anything that will go against the assignment. God wants to work it out on the wheel. He takes us and in this time of being hidden, and He frames us and He shapes us and He molds us. And He wants us to come to a place where we are the constructed vessel by God Himself. And this private mentoring is a beautiful process. It is a powerful process. And in this process, God wants to keep His eye of surveillance on the son. And He wants to squeeze the son. And other times He wants to teach the son. And other times He wants to just have a private conversation where He wants to tell the son what the way forward is all about. Because purpose is afoot. And God uses whatever way, method, or type of way to get these things installed in this vessel. So you and I find ourselves in a hidden position, but this hidden position is not hiding from the world. It's not hiding from my community. It's not hiding from people. It's a process where God has called me to just step aside for a few moments, just like He did with Elijah. One moment, you're the man of the hour. The next moment, He says, can you please go and hide yourself in the brook, Cherith? We find that it is very, very, very important, family, to understand this one thing and to know this one thing. Hidden does not mean denial of your gifting, of your gracing, and of your anointing. It also does not mean that you are disqualified from the main stage. It doesn't mean you have been rejected by God for functionality. But it does mean that God maneuvers, turns, and decides the ebbs and flows of His doings. And the son that He's busy with must just flow with God to accomplish something, to accomplish that mandate. And He will choose whom He wants to accomplish a mandate with. And everything in my life must come under the instruction of God. Everything in under my life must now become under the direction of God. I cannot just decide to do things. I cannot just decide that I would love to do A, B, C, and D. The counsel of God plays a role in what I do, in what I say, in how I behave, in what mandate I am assigned to by God, not by myself. So now I say, truly, Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done. So I ask myself, so while I'm in this hidden position, because I do realize from the time that God says to Elijah, go and hide yourself in the brook Cherith, until he goes to maybe verse 8 and 9 where he says, now arise and go to Zarephath. That timeline is not given to us. And so sometimes this waiting period can be quite long. This waiting period can be quite a journey. And it is the obedience of the son to live it out, to stay in that space and to hear God's voice. So how should I be responding when God says, can I keep you in hidden for a time being? I should be at peace. I should be at peace through this process and believe that God is doing what He wants to do and He knows exactly what He wants to do. I should be humble and not kick against it and say, but I'm anointed. I'm powerful. I've went to 3 Bible schools. I can do this. Why should I be hidden? The obedience issue comes to the forefront. We should embrace this incubation period because it's God's design. God chooses to keep Elijah one moment in the spotlight and the next moment hidden. And today he was the main speaker at the conference, and tomorrow he's the person that must sit down and watch and listen and be taught. And God wants to build in us via the spirit of Elijah this quality to know when it is time for me to step up and do, and when it is time for me to retract and watch God operating in my life. And it is important, family, that we do not give God time frames, a time allocation, a due date. We can't do that. God is God. And God has the ultimate say of how short or how long this space will be where we stay hidden. And it's very important that myself, yourself, as a son of God, we have to wait until the voice comes back and says, arise, now go to Zarephath. That would be the scenario that God wants to do in our lives. Family, the spirit of Elijah is in a person who knows how to obey the voice of God all the time. Not sometimes, not at times when you prefer, not at times when it's convenient, but prefers rather to obey the voice of God all the time. The spirit of Elijah is that person who knows how to humbly retreat and step back at the Father's command. The spirit of Elijah is a person that can assume a role that Father gives me without moaning, without grumbling, without complaining, because Father spoke. And so you have Elijah who stops the rain at one stage. And the next moment he deals with Ahab and Jezebel. And the next moment God tells him to go and hide himself at the brook Cherith, where the audience that he has now is only a woman and a son. And so the spotlight, the limelight, the multitudes is no more there. The faces and the voices is not there. It's just a mother and her son. And God's eye is on your response in all those scenarios. So the spirit of Elijah is a son with a very tender, very pliable heart, who just don't run off and do, but knows that everything, every step I make, it's because God said. Every move I make is because Father said it. And so also the spirit of Elijah is that person who knows how to wait. Wait for the promptings of Father. Wait for the promptings of God. And can be quite content with the fact that God knows what he's doing. The spirit of Elijah is that person who's very much anointed, but also knows that anointed doesn't mean I just do as I please. Anointed also means being totally led by what Father God is telling me to do. And sometimes in all my anointings and giftings and gracings, I have to then step back and say, God wants me now to go and hide at the brook Cherith. Right now, I'm not supposed to be in the palace of Ahab. Right now, I'm not supposed to be facing Jezebel or prophesying for the rain to stop. And it's in this lifestyle of being hidden where God teaches us how to flow in between these different phases of our journey with him. The spirit of Elijah is a person, a son, who knows how to behave in the limelight and when the audience has shrunk to a mother and a son. And be calm and be at peace about the whole matter. And so, family, as we continue, I ask myself, and then after I've stayed my course in this hidden position, what then? What's the next part of the process? What's the next leg of the journey? If I stayed my duration and I've heard God say, arise, now go. Now God comes and in my readiness, he wants to send me on a mission. Ask Moses. Ask Esther. Even David. Ask these mighty men and women of God. Now he can take me out of his quiver and shoot me like a sharpened arrow into the target, into the assignment that he wants for me to fulfill. Now God looks at me and confidently sees that you stayed the course and you look exactly like my representation that I need to send into Pharaoh's courts. And then the Father can say to you, the specific graces and the specific skills and the specific anointings I've given to you now, my son, because you stayed hidden for the time frame that I required. And in my obedience of staying hidden, and in my obedience and my humility and my peace of coming under that space called hidden, he takes me out. And now new dimension starts to come in play. Now the David can go and slay his giants. Now Elijah can stop the rain, or he can miraculously provide for a woman and a son. And he can cause the oil not to stop, but only at his command. He can feed his father. He can feed his brothers. He can feed a whole nation. This is Joseph. Joseph stayed the course. Esther, at an opportune, exact, correct time, she was released to walk into the palace and say, if I perish, I perish. But to fulfill mandate and purpose. And in a hidden stage, God prepared her. He graced her to walk into that palace and be the conduit and be God's voice and be God's prophetic thrust at that stage. Jesus himself knew what it was to retract, to step back, even if he wanted to. At the age of 12, he had to pull back and go to a place called fathering of Mary and Joseph. And there he had to learn skills and behaviors, and God, Father God, lived in him, through him, but he waited his turn. He waited for his time. He waited until the maturity of time. And after you and I have stayed the course and stayed in the race, you come out with a heart that is quite different, a heart that is reliable, a heart that shows up when it's time to show up, a heart which is steady when it's time to be steady, a heart that sees the greater plan of God, a heart that is squarely connected and plugged in to fathering, and a heart that makes his or her contributions. I want to encourage us as a family and as sons, don't ever become discouraged if in God's plan, he keeps you hidden. He keeps us hidden because his intentions is for something great. There's a new move. There's a new assignment. There's a new task that needs this son to stay in that vortex, in that space of hiddenness, to be educated, to be transformed, to be changed and rearranged by the Spirit of God. And we must know it's the dealings of God. It's the way God wants to do things at that time. Never, family, never, sons of God, abort that process. Never step up, never get up and walk away prematurely. I might just give God license and permission to select a son that is more willing to obey, more willing to be humble, more willing to stay the course. So when I abort, when I abdicate my position of being hidden for a time, I might just cause God to select a more obedient son. And now, family, I read scriptures like John chapter 17, which is Jesus' last prayer in the that he prays before he dies. And I come to a better understanding of what it is to be hidden in Christ, in God. I read scriptures in John chapter 15 verse 5 where Jesus says, he is the vine and I'm the branch, and all, if I abide in him and him in me, I will bear much fruit. I understand these things much deeper now. Hidden is not disqualification. Hidden is not rejection. It is the doing of the Lord. And let us remain hidden, family. Let us remain hidden so that God can speak, God can shape, God can mold, he can squeeze, he can teach, he can train, he can build on the inside of us the representation that should walk into Pharaoh's courts, that should walk and face Saul, should walk in and face Goliath, and face the kings, and face those people that needed a godly representation in their faces. Let's wait until we've clearly hear, now go. In verse 3, God says to Elijah, go hide yourself. In verse 8, he says, now go. Not a moment too soon, not a moment too late. The doings of God is timeous. And you and I must learn from Elijah's life the skill of when to go, when to stop, when to function, and when to retract. This is just but one principle today that I want to leave with us as a family. It's just but one principle that I know God wants to install in our makeup and become stronger sons when we birth it and work it in our own lives. So who is this message or this word for this morning? You may ask, it sounds like it's just for the pastors and the teachers and the prophets and those people that stand behind the pulpit. I want to say to each and every one of us, this word is not only for the frontline people, for those who are in ministry, to know the skills of when to do, when to retract. This word is for every son. It's for every son that wants to obey God every time. Because in every son, God wants to instill a few things. He wants to instill in us humility, obedience, a dependence on God, a hearing of God's voice clearly, and a hearing of the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us needs these things as we function and work and put our hand to the plow and do God's bidding. We don't want to like lose limbs, just do. But we want to come under the voice that tells me when to be hidden and tells me when to go and present myself again. I want to come under this voice that wants to call me aside for a time frame and tell me, wait, listen, learn. I'm instructing, I'm teaching, I'm coaching, I'm installing, I'm downloading, I'm giving you pin codes, I'm giving you portals where you can understand and learn the thing that will be needed in your future. Family, and so God is moving in sons because he wants to do a great and powerful work in the earth. And whether today I'm the prophetic voice of God and tomorrow I'm just a mere son that is giving strong support in all areas of my life, I come under the direction of a fathering voice from the heavens. That same voice that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. All of us comes under the instruction of God, under the direction of God. We are an orchestra, but without the conductor, we might just play our own notes and play out of time, out of tune, miss some notes, and forget our timing, and we might not sound harmonious like an orchestra should. So with that example, I want to say to us, whether in one season I'm the main role player, I'm the voice of the Lord for that time, for that kairos, I have the coin in my mouth, in the flip of a coin, a few minutes later, God can say to me, can you now sit down and be a strong support to your brother that I need to use for the next assignment? And so there's no running around for, can I do, let me do. I must know that the dealings of God is with wisdom and clarity. My life is to know the purpose of God. It's to know when to speak and when to be quiet, when to do and when to retract. Sons of God, sons who loves God's word, rest in God. Rest in knowing that the doings of the Lord is not a mistake. There's a beautiful scripture in Proverbs 21, verse 1. It says, the heart of a king is in the hand of God. And like the rivers of water, he turns it whichever way he would. That's you and I. The heart of every king, small k, king. We are kings and priests. Let's put our hearts in the hand of a king and allow him to turn us the way he sees fit, so that in all our doings, we might function from a place of obedience. We might just function from a place of God said, not me. Amen. And so I also want to say to us, as I conclude this message, do not prematurely exit the hidden position. It can lead to great catastrophe, to the abortion of purpose, and to failure of the assignment. But let me also say this. God is a mighty God. If you abort or prematurely walk away from your hidden position, you'll find a son that's willing to learn, to be taught, to understand the rigors of this task. So I want us to learn how to know and hear God. Know when he says, be hidden. And know when he says, now go to Zarephath. And it's in understanding that we realize that it's only at God's voice where I can continue, where I can be obedient for the assignment. May this short word, family, may it bring a new understanding of how God does things. And let Elijah teach us. We don't always have to be on the main stage. Sometimes, just sometimes, God might require for us to go to a brook, to be fed by ravens, not the most cleanest of birds. But they bring bread and they bring water and they bring meat. They bring bread in the morning, they bring bread in the evening. God is a miraculous God that even when I'm in my hidden position, he's right there to provide in my every need and make sure that while he's educating me, while he's tweaking me and changing me and rearranging me, he's still also providing for me miraculously. And I see the awesomeness of God in him doing that. So in conclusion, family, let us allow just God to be God of our lives. Allow him to have the last say. Let him turn our hearts in any way he sees fit and any way he deems fit. God bless you, and I trust that this word will find a root in our hearts. And it will produce fruit, and its fruit will remain. And there will be the representation of God on the earth, where sons know who they are in Christ, when they're functioning, when they are not. But most of all, they're living in a space of obedience to the Father's voice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, King of kings and Lord of lords, you're speaking is so awesome. You do mighty acts. You do great and mighty wonders, Lord. And as sons, we come and we hide under the shadow of your wings. We place ourselves in a hidden position to be taught by you, to be instructed by you, to be directed by you. to be educated by you, Lord. The graces and giftings and skills that we need for any assignment, Lord, we come to you because you provide. You would give it to us. Help us to know where we are in your dealings, Father. Are we on the stage right now? Are we at the Brook Shared? Or are we going to Zarephath? But in all the locations, Father, we know that you have the last say. We bring our lives under your speaking, under your direction. We bring our lives under your doing. And I thank you, Father, that in all that, you see that we want to be sons. We want to be the voice of God in the earth, doing God's bidding, doing God's assignment at the right time, with the right anointing, with the right grace, with God Himself as the head over all that I say and all that I do. Thank you that from the scriptures, oh God, we realize that we have to listen to your voice. We have to obey the hiding part, and we have to obey the go forth part. So, Father, I bless you and I thank you that every one of us will learn. And may this word be another line, another building block, another step closer into representing you accurately. Unto you be glory and honor, power, might, and dominion in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen.